Welcome to the Valhalla Parish Sermon Podcast, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of several First Nations where the Kootenai and Columbia Rivers meet.
Glory to God, glory to God in the highest.
Well, good morning, friends. After a few technical difficulties, here we are. And there were a few more before we even got onto the Zoom. So I'm grateful that we can gather here today. I am what they call in the news media these days a geriatric millennial, which means that I'm on the older end of the millennial spectrum, but a millennial all the same. And part of what that means for me is that despite the fact that I'm okay with computers, I still need to use paper. Whereas my younger compatriots seem to go just fine with screens all day long. And so so this morning I was having trouble using the printer yet again this morning, and I'm grateful that at 9:50 it decided to print. And so it's good to be here again, gathered together with one another as we seek to order our lives around God's dream for the world. God's dream, that's the way in which the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu talked about the kingdom of heaven. It's present in his speeches and in his writings, but especially in his addresses to children, his books for children. And maybe because I like things simple, maybe because I sometimes struggle to understand all of the theological mumbo jumbo, maybe because I have struggled in the past to find words to explain my faith to folks who have zero Christian background and who know none of the Jesus stories, I lean on this clear and beautiful understanding. And I found that in doing so, it's also brought my imagination alive as well. God's dream. And Archbishop Tutu, when he describes this dream, he puts it this way. Do you know what God dreams about? If you close your eyes and look with your heart, I am sure, dear child, that you will find out. God dreams about people caring. God dreams about people sharing. God dreams that we reach out and hold one another's hands and play one another's games and laugh with one another's hearts. But God does not force us to be friends or to love one another. Do you know what God dreams about? And I wonder today, are these dreams your dreams too? That's the question I keep coming back to. Are my dreams and God's dreams similar? Are my dreams informed by God's dreams? Is what I dream of, is what we, dear church, dream of in line with God's dream? Because God dreams not these dreams, not just for you, not just for me, not just for this Valhalla Parish community, but for the whole world and the entire cosmos. God's dream is cosmic in scope, and sometimes that can lead us to feel small. And other times it can lead us to feeling like an important part of a very big plan. And so I've been thinking about these things this week in advance of today, in advance of our AGM, this opportunity we have to come together and prayerfully seek the ways in which we will participate in God's dream in the coming year. And yeah, sometimes it's as mundane as a business meeting with minutes and nominations and budgets and reports. I know I try not to dream about these things in particular, but some nights I do lose some sleep over them. Sometimes it's as mundane as a business meeting, but that's just sometimes. God's dream is cosmic in scope, and it's a dream in which we are invited to participate. God dreams of a world of love, a world in which all have enough, you, me, and yes, even our enemies. You see, in today's gospel, while the text has been misused from time to time to turn fierce, loving Christians into passive doormats, something else is going on here. Today's gospel is about an active love, of all who we encounter, an active love of our neighbors and communities, an active love of those who we already love, of course, and those who drive us mad. To love your enemy is first to have an enemy, and we have to come to terms with that. The way of Jesus does set us up in the path of conflict. Why else did he end up on the cross? To love your enemy is first to have an enemy. It means that there will be disagreements. It means that when people are chanting and screaming about freedom for some, calling for unity while plotting division, we are called to stand up for a world and a way of relating in which all are beloved, and we seek to embody that with our very lives. I found myself in the midst of that tension this week. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I was nearly overwhelmed by a particular action that I both knew that I needed to take and didn't want to do because of the fear of its repercussions and the way in which it would have affected a relationship. And I was scared. And in the end, through conversation with other Jesus followers, through conversation with people I know and love, I took action. Following the lead of survivors of significant harm, to stand with them. And that has and that will lead to more conflict, I know of it. And it's hard, and it's right, and I still face these flashes of doubt. And yet even so, in the midst of all of this, I was preparing for this morning for our service and our AGM, and I was reading this gospel. And with these gospel texts before us, I was also aware of Jesus' call to stand strong in the face of enemies, and Jesus' call to disarm the powers that would do harm, that would not guarantee the safety of all of God's children. This passage, and especially that bit, where it talks about turning the other cheek, well, that business has been used to make a case for being a doormat. And yet more recently, theologians and biblical scholars alike have looked at this passage, as well as the similar passage in Matthew's gospel, and put it in a different context. In the first century, a Roman noble or soldier would use the back of the hand to hit someone subservient, someone of lesser rank. And that's what we have here. The description of a backhanded slap as of a powerful person to somebody without power. And yet what Jesus is saying here, and you can hear echoes of this teaching in Martin Luther King Jr.'s act and in Gandhi's and so many others who are part of active nonviolent resistance. What Jesus is saying here is to get back up and to offer the other cheek, forcing them to hit you as an equal. Claiming and proclaiming your God-given worthiness, that you are beloved, that you are enough. And if the world is going to throw its violence at you, you're not going to take it lying down. You're not going to take it in fear, but knowing that you are a beloved child of God, worthy of equality, and that this needs to be afforded to all God's children and all of creation. Now, what I'm not encouraging here is that we all go out and get into fist fights after church or even at the AGM. But what I want to draw our attention to is that our participation in God's dream invites us into acts of daring imagination of the world, the imagination of the world, not as it is, but as it ought to be. And from time to time, our participation in God's dream will require that we resist with words and with our bodies, the violence of this world, which can be heavy, which can be big stuff. And so, where's the good news in that? Desmond Tutu, in his book, God's Dream, goes on to say this: sometimes we cry, and God cries with us. And isn't that the truth? Even in the sorrow, even in the pain, even in the hard times, God is there and God cries with us. God cries out for justice and stands shoulder to shoulder with us as we do the same. And what's more, and I just want to remind us of this morning, that we have one another. God called together a peculiar group of people, the church, and called us to live this kind of life together, to embody God's dream of sharing, of caring, of reaching out and holding one another's hands, of playing one another's games, like Scrabble, I guess, or find the missing altar cloth, or, I don't know, doing things together that bring joy and laughter and a sense of vitality and satisfaction, that bring peace and compassion to more and more people, reminding us of God's dream for the world and our part in it. Which, if you think about it, isn't so insignificant. In our communities of New Denver and Castlegar, we are outposts of God's dream for the world. And together we seek to live that out with honesty and with truth, in good times and in bad, all the while pointing to the source of our hope. The source of our hope, who is Jesus, the one who comes and shows us the way of enemy love, who comes and shows us in his actions and in his teachings, in dreams and in stories, in flesh and blood, in bread and wine, what God is like. Amen. And as we have been doing in our Zoom services for the past number of weeks, I would invite you who feel so led to offer a word or a phrase or a thought that arrives out of the scriptures or the sermon, not as an opportunity for conversation or debate, but just to complete the sermon in some ways, to share with one another what God might be saying to you and through you to us.
And I love that book, and it ends very beautifully when it says, "Will you help God's dream come true? Let me tell you a secret. God smiles like a rainbow when you do." And I think the book says it all. It's a beautiful book. And when we work together, God's dream comes true.
I hear also, never be smug or self-satisfied. There's always work to do, our fellow humans.
Mm. Thank you.
This morning I saw a posting of a drawing of an egg with a crack down the middle so that it was in two halves, and saying that those that are protesting are trying to tell us that there are two camps. But below that was a picture of an egg with just the end off, that we're not as overwhelmed. We keep hearing all this violence and this tension, but it's not as big as it seems, that there is a silent majority out there, and maybe we need to be a little more vocal.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for your reflections. We'll continue our service this morning with the Nicene Creed, which I think should be on your screens at this moment. Mm-hmm.